was stated because of their service by Pastor Tackett, we have the freedoms we have today to gather in the house of God like we have. We take this for granted. There are many countries where people cannot openly worship God. There are foreign enemies that want to take our freedoms from us. That's why God has raised up an army. You can be seated. Second Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You and me, when we accepted Christ into our life, we enlisted into His service. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man, for it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus is our commander-in-chief. He's been through the heat of the battle. He met the enemy in His own domain, in His own territory, and stripped him of his authority. And His victory is our victory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My father served in World War I. He was a young man. He didn't tell the truth about his age. But he served on the battlefield. And he was in a squad, of course, of 12 men. They ate poison grapes in France on their way to Germany. 10 men died on the spot. They're taking my father and the other man back to the camp. The other man died en route back to the camp. They laid my father on the cot. There's nothing they could do about it, but he lived. He died of a stroke December 21st, 1959. World War I concluded in 1918. And the thought is, because he had ingested poison into his system, that his circulatory system slowed down, of course, as we age. The poison coagulated and may have induced a stroke that killed him. I have a brother that's in heaven. He ran a beer joint in downtown Logan, West Virginia. The Lord led me to go and witness to him. He fell under conviction. He got saved. And I know the day he got saved, on June 20th, 1976. My wife and I were married the day before. We went on a one-night honeymoon at the Uptowner Hotel in Huntington, West Virginia. We came back to go to church on Sunday night. I knew my brother was under conviction. He got saved that night. Sold the beer joint. You know, people started saying he sold the beer joint within 3 weeks. Well, how's he going to be a Christian and own a beer joint? I said, don't put the cart before the horse. And he sold the beer joint. He went up to New Jersey and worked for our cousin George Manolius, who had two Greek restaurants. I went up there in the summer of 1970 after I graduated from high school and worked up in New Jersey at the Princetonian Diner and the Middlesex Diner. And I tell you what, it was a shock to me. I'd never been away from home. I'm staying in this little townhouse and these Greeks are coming in and out. I'm not sleeping. I'm not used to this. And you hear cars blaring their horn all night long. But my cousin and his wife, Calliope, took me over, and I stayed in their apartment. And I mean, you talk about having the life of Riley. And not only did I get tips, how many knows it pays who you know? If you know Jesus, you have access to God. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have access to God. Billy Graham's favorite scripture. Notice I didn't say it was Billy Graham's favorite scripture. It is Billy Graham's favorite scripture. Billy Graham said years ago, you're going to read one day or hear that I've died. He said, don't believe any of it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, I'd rather be absent of the body, be present with the Lord. But his favorite scripture, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus rose back from the dead. Great people have walked this planet. Jesus died, but He didn't stay dead. He rose back from the dead. Jesus is alive in you and me right now. We are His representatives on this planet. We need to represent Him in a befitting manner. And we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. I mentioned, I don't know if it was Friday night or last night, the church over in South Korea, they are serious about God. They're in the house of God. They look forward to going to the house of God. They're actively involved in bringing people to the house of God. Dr. Cho passed away September 13, 2021. Young Hoon Lee assumed the pastor and also president of Church Growth International. And in 3 years' time, well, I guess the church lost a lot of people. They grew 400,000 people from 1.4 million people to 1.8 million people. Because Dr. Cho did not build Yodio Full Gospel Church on Dr. Cho. He built the church on Jesus Christ. Our foundation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:11, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. David cried out in Psalm 61:2, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:4, they all drank from that rock, and the rock they drank from was Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 2:20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You'll see ministries that have been founded by great men and women. You know, over in China, when you could not worship God openly, the underground church flourished. The same thing happened in the old Soviet Union. For 70 years, they tried to banish Christianity. Now, it had to go underground, but it flourished. And then when those countries opened up somewhat to freedom, now those doors are closing. It makes me think about Douglas MacArthur, who led our forces in the Pacific region of World War II. And after the conclusion of the war, some people criticize Harry Truman because he dropped bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But we need to understand, had that not been done to end the war, many more Japanese people would have been killed and many more American soldiers would have been killed. Wasn't we were out just to kill people. We were out to win the war. And by the way, when you fight a war, you fight to win. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. I've been in several fights in my life. And the only good fights are the ones that I won. Hallelujah, saints of God. Amen. But Douglas MacArthur pled with the church to send missionaries into Japan at the conclusion of World War II. And by and large, the church did not answer the call. There was a spiritual vacuum. They would have been open to the gospel. They reverted back to ancestor worship and those things. But now, I will say this. There is a church that is growing in Japan. But back to China. Nora Lamb, a great woman of God, led many of these meetings. And at the conclusion of these meetings, and we're talking about Holy Ghost meetings, she would say, listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you where and when we're going to meet the next time. So government infiltrators could not find out where they were meeting. They had to be saved. You see, when you have to depend on God, and you do depend on God, God will show up. And people have questioned me about, seems like more miracles take place in third world countries here in the United States. I think to some degree, with all the creature comforts and all the advancements we've made in medicine and science, that we rely more on those things than we do on God. Thank God for doctors and nurses. Had it not been for doctors and nurses, most of you and I wouldn't be here today. But over in those countries, many of those countries have been into the dark side of the spiritual world. And when they get saved and come into the light, it's easy for them to believe the God of heaven and earth will answer their prayers. When your back's up against the wall, as they sang a few minutes ago, I've loved these worship songs Friday night, last night, and this morning. It might seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by Him. When the prophet sent out his servant, Gehazi went out because Gehazi said, oh, there are more of them than there are of us. And he went out, and when God opened his eyes, he saw the army of the Lord encamped around about the Assyrian army. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, God said, it's not your battle, it is my battle. You might seem like you're outnumbered from time to time, but Romans 8, 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Does it matter how many's on the other side if you're on the Lord's side? Abraham Lincoln was asked a question. Is the Lord on your side? Abraham Lincoln said, I don't ask that question. Well, what do you ask? I want to make sure I'm on his side. Huh? Thank God for the outcome of the election. But that doesn't solve our problems. We'll have more freedom, freedom of speech, but we need to take advantage of this. I was talking to somebody before service. I do believe we have a 4-year reprieve, and we as the church need to stay busy. Well, everything's going to be all right now. It's not going to come back by political means. It's going to come from the grassroots efforts of the church, winning souls to Christ. That is a great awakening that we're believing God for, and we all need to participate. You have influence with folk I don't, or nobody else does. I may have influence with some people you'll never know, but let's use our influence for God. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and they followed him. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? People say, well, God's walking with me. I don't think so if you're going to places that God doesn't want you to go. We need to walk with God. Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, now it's if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. That's a ongoing process from all. So you know, if you're walking with the Lord and you miss the mark, and that's what sin is, and you confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, he cleanses you. He cleanses you. So I thank God for the people that went into service. And my brother Bill, I did his funeral back in 2013. He died on, I think, March 13th. I was down in Marion, North Carolina. And I finished revival on Wednesday night. I drove home to do his funeral. And I mentioned that he served his country with courage and valor. He served both in the Marines and the Army in the Korean conflict. I think he served 51 to 52 and then 53 and 54 at the conclusion of the Korean War. We lost 54,000 people, I think, in the Korean War. I think in Vietnam we lost like 56,000 people. Do you think of that? Think of the families that got the phone call. And really, what they would do, they would send people to the houses. All that opening the door and seeing soldiers with their uniforms on standing in front of you, and then they announced the news that a loved one was killed. A terrible price was paid for our freedoms. And a terrible price was paid from the freedom from sin. You can't put a dollar and cent value on our salvation. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold by your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God for God's salvation. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be among those of like precious faith? We have, Pastor Tackle, we've got this opportunity to reach people now, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it, saints of God. Well, you know, that happened over in Korea. You know what happened? There was a little man. He was a little man. And I've had people ask me. I got to meet and talk to him two times. I think it was back in 2015 he came to Evangel. I went over in 2018. And he and his wife, they were both great preachers. And he was preaching and he said, and everyone has their cross to bear. My cross all these years is knowing that my wife was a better preacher than me. And she was humorous too, but I mean, they preached the word. this little man, as a young man, read a Bible, gave his heart to Jesus, and when he read about how Jesus ministered to people, he couldn't stop crying. His family rejected him. He was thrown in jail. He was a bag of bones. They threw him out on the street. And he cried out to God, God, give me a bicycle. I just want a bicycle. And he got a bicycle by supernatural means. He started riding around on that little bicycle and started preaching to people. And they got saved. Now, the first church service he had, because he would get him into other churches, the first church service he had either six or eight people. And I think four of those were family. When he died, September 13, 2021, the church had 1.4 million people. And in 3 years' time, it's grown to 1.8 million people. Well, what's special? Special thing is he fell in love with Jesus and became dedicated to the Lord. And that's what he preached, and that's what people received. And they got serious about God. And people started coming. That whole country's been changed. I've heard that Sister Pastorette, Annette, loves South Korea. Maybe in 2026, I'll be going back for 2 years. I'm on the board. Maybe you all can go. I may actually be going back next year. I don't know for sure. But I went to Yonsei University. It's the oldest university on the Korean peninsula. It's now a Christian university. Where Korea was overwhelmingly Buddhist, now they are 47% Christian. There are around 52 million people in South Korea. And I'm saying this, and I've talked to Pastor. It reminds me of what life was like in the 1950s. Do you know we would drive miles to go to eat at different restaurants, and we went up on Paramount and went to this other historic site in South Korea, and you could drive 2 or 3 miles and not see any trash on the road. And Seoul has 10 million people. Within about another 50 miles, they have another 10 million people. I dare say there's not a large city, maybe even a small city in the United States, that you can drive 2 miles without seeing some trash. The people are so polite and they're happy. Psalm 144, 50, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. 1 Peter 1:8, salvation is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The crime rate is almost nil. Don't hardly have any crime. Well, I guess they really punish evildoers. Well, yes, they do. But when people turn to God, that'll get rid of the crime problem. When I was growing up, and some of you my age or around my age, growing up, Charles, we'd leave our doors unlocked at night, windows open. Never was concerned about somebody breaking in the house. You better not do that now. I heard the joke about this burglar broke into this house and he was looking around. And the parrot said, you better watch out. G's going to get you. And he rifled through some jewelry that was in the top drawer of a desk. And then he was going around and he was getting valuable things he was taking. And he was getting ready to go in this room. And the parrot said, you better watch out. G's going to get you. And he opened the door and there's a Doberman Pinscher. And the parrot said, get him, Jesus, get him. Hallelujah. But we need to lock our doors because there's crime all around. And this drug infiltration into America, I believe the drug flow is going to slow down when we control the borders. Fentanyl has killed hundreds of thousands of young people, and not just young people, mostly young people. Now, Narcan can bring you back from that, but there's a xylylene. It won't, because xylylene, from my understanding, is a derivative of what they give a tranquilizer for a horse or an elephant. You inject that into a human being, you're going to die. Narcan won't bring you back from that. We got to stop this. Revelation 18:23 says, through sorcery, talking about the Antichrist, he'll deceive the nations of the earth. That word in the Greek is pharmakia, from which you get the word pharmaceutical, drugs. It's a scourge of our society. I was a drug addict, I told you that, and becoming an alcoholic when I got saved in 1975. Back then, the drugs weren't nearly as powerful as they are today. Now, I think I mentioned this before. Back in 1986, there was an absolutely great collegiate basketball player by the name of Len Bice. He was the best college basketball player of his generation. He was 6'8". He could shoot the outside shot. He could take it to the basket. I mean, he could rebound. And the Boston Celtics had worked a deal a year or two before. They had the number one pick, and they just won their third championship under Larry Bird and Robert Parrish and Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, and Kevin McHale. And people thought, this is not fair, this is not fair. Now, Len Bice grew up in a Christian home. His mother and grandmother were preachers. Well, there near the end of his senior season, actually, he smoked some weed his junior year. He sort of got away from that. Then they're telling him, hey, you're going to have all this money. Y'all ought to relax, man. Y'all ought to relax. And he was in a room with a drug dealer and some of his friends, and he snorted cocaine. Now, it might have been the first time he snorted cocaine, I'm not for sure, but it exploded in his heart. And the drug dealer would not let anybody call the EMTs until he hid all of his drug paraphernalia. That cost him his life. They rushed him to the hospital. Lefty Driesell was the coach of the Maryland Terrapins back then. They rushed him to the hospital, but he died. I think he was 21 or 22 years old. His life's over. His mother and grandmother started traveling the country. And they would go into schools. Of course, they had to watch what they would say when they went into schools about God or the Bible. But they would tell the students, if you want to hear more about this, come to this church tonight. Then they would preach the gospel. A lot of young folk turned to God through that. But that was tragic. But what happened to Len Bice has happened multiplied times over now with even stronger drugs today. That's why the church does need to be the church. We need to be a light to those in darkness. We need to bring people out. Colossians 1:13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. That word in the Greek means authority, and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Man, I've been free from drugs and alcohol for 49 years and going on 7 months. Pastor, right after I got saved, a lot of my friends, they thought, that's not going to last too long. And after a few months, they tried to stay away from me. They had a problem, though, Tim. They had a big problem. I could outrun every one of them. I'd run, they couldn't get away from me. And I'd talk to them about Jesus. Several of my former, I wouldn't call them really friends. I mean, out in the world, when you get in trouble, they won't know you. You think a friend will stick with you through good times and bad times. Jesus will never leave nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. You can walk away from Him, but He won't walk away from you. If you walk away from Him, it's because of your will. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God, but you can walk away. No backslider, no devil, no demon can take me away from God. I can walk away from God if I want to. I have no desire to walk away from Jesus. I'm having the time of my life going to heaven. I wouldn't trade God's steak for the devil's hot dog any day of the week. The devil's hot dog will make you sick. And you'll regurgitate. Could have used a word that would probably gross you out. Bill, you'll regurgitate on what the devil feeds you. But I love basking at the Lord's table. And I'm excited about salvation. I'm more excited about the Lord today than the day I got saved. I was excited the day I got saved. Saints of God, we have this great opportunity. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I want to talk about finish. We talked about standing on Friday night. We need to stand for the truth. On the Word of God, for the truth, to stand with believers. We talked last night about running. We need to run to God, run with believers, and run from sin. We need to finish strong. We should not get the idea, hey, we got this thing made now. We don't. It takes you and I and other churches around the world to be involved in bringing Christ back. There's a scripture that tells us when the Lord's coming back. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When, Jesus? When this gospel is preached to all nations, then the end will come. We have a part to play in that. Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. We need to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Psalm 2:8 says, "Ask of me, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." That's what we need to be doing. We need to claim nations for God. You know, at this CGI meeting, I went 2018 as an observer. I went 2022 as a nominee to be on the CGI board. Unofficially, we were all approved. Myself, Rachel Rogers Nichols, Brian Gibson, and Dr. Walter Hallam. Then last fall in 23, we had a meeting at Evangel, and people came from Korea and different places around the world, and we were officially put on the board. So when I went over this past October, I went over as a board member. The strategy simply is getting people together. And some of these pastors, pastor churches of 300,000, 400,000, 200,000. Largest churches in the world are hooked up with this group. But the whole focus is reaching people with the gospel. That's the last minute instructions Jesus gave the church. You know, when somebody's taking their last breath, what they tell you is the most important thing they could ever tell you. That's why they said, "Dead men tell no tales." When people are dying, and if they have enough time, you know what they start doing? They start confessing. Come on. People don't want to die with lies on their mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew 9:37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest." You and I are an answer to the prayer that Jesus prayed. You and I need to go out in the highways and byways and compel them. The word compel means to urge them. It's a little short of hog-tying them and dragging them to church. You can't bring people to God that way. You can't nag people into salvation. You can't pester people into salvation. You can't browbeat people into salvation. I won't say who this is, but as a person I taught with many years ago, he's confessing Christ now. But his wife was trying to nag him into getting saved. Kathy and I talked to her and said, "Look, that's counterproductive." "Well, you know, he needs to get saved." I said, "Let the Holy Ghost do his work." Come on, people. Well, it tells us in 1 Peter 3, through your chaste conversation, you'll win your spouse to the Lord. Not by haranguing them every day. Anyway, this man would not confess Christ because his wife tried to tell him to do it. Because I'm preaching the truth. It works both ways. If the men are trying to browbeat their wives, no, they're going to resist. Don't let God's Spirit deal with them. Let the Holy Spirit. Christ said in John 6:44, "No man could come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day." If you're not drawn by the Holy Ghost, you can't get saved. You have to have conviction before you have conversion. You got to be drawn. Genesis 6:3, "My Spirit will not always strive with man." And John 16:8, talking about the Holy Spirit, "He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come of sin, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, of righteousness." Come on, saints of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to Jesus. As much as we want them saved. Let's do our part. What's our part? Live a Christian life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, "We're an open book, known and read of all men." The best thing you and I can do is live for Jesus, and that will be a light to our family. But we also need to talk about the Lord. But once again, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't let the flesh get involved, because it will drive people away. But let the Holy Ghost lead you. And as you do that, Psalm 126:5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth," not he that stayeth home, "bearing precious seed," 1 Peter 1:23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, if you don't go, God can't grow what you don't sow. So go and sow, and sow and sow, and sow and sow, and sow and sow. And I'm a so-and-so preacher. I believe in sowing seed over here and sowing seed over there. The sower went forth to sow. You have to plant the seed. Water the seed. You know, maybe in the process, maybe you're going to water a seed somebody's planted. Or maybe you're going to plant a seed somebody else is going to water. But it's all important to do our part. I think I mentioned this a few times here in years past. Now, this has been 18 or 19 years ago. I'm preaching in Roanoke, Virginia at Grace Family Church. Tommy Feigert pastors a church there. I checked into the Holiday Inn on that Saturday night, and I've taken my luggage cart down the hallway, and this open door to a room was right by my room. The three guys said, "Hey, come on in and drink a beer with us." I said, "No, thanks, guys." They said, "Come on, man." I said, "Hey, all I need is a second invitation." Oh, I live for these moments. I live for these moments. And I had my blue jeans and T-shirt, and I walked in there. Hey, and this one guy handed me a cold Michelob. I said, "Well, no." I said, "That won't get me where I want to go." "Oh, what does?" I said, "New wine." They had no clue. They were tanked up. They were drunk. New wine. And one guy said, "Hey, where do you get that new wine?" I said, "From the portals of glory." They still, Pastor, had no clue. And the other guy said, "If they have it in those stores here in Roanoke, I'll go get some for you real quick." I said, "No, they don't have them in Roanoke." And the guy invited me and said, "Well, where is it at?" I said, "It's in heaven, and Jesus serves up the new wine." The other guy said, "Blank, man, we've got a preacher in here." All three of those guys had driven up from Myrtle Beach to attend a friend's wedding there in Roanoke. And so I began to tell those people what the Lord had done for me. I didn't talk down to them. They were all taller than me. But I told them about Jesus. And they're listening. So then I go out, get the luggage cart, roll it down to the elevator, go down to the first floor, leave the luggage cart there. I ride the elevator back up to the third or fourth floor. I'm walking down the hallway, and I see two young guys and two young ladies walk in that room, and I just leaned up against the wall. And when they walked in, one of the guys said, "Do you know what we just did?" I said, "What?" "We asked a guy to come in and have a beer with us." They said, "What's wrong with that?" They said, "Do you know what he was?" They said, "No, what was he?" "He was a blanking preacher, man." And he started blanking preaching to us. Then one of the guys, I don't know who it was, but one of the guys said this. He said, "Guys, I don't know about you all, but I know what that man said is true." And said, "I know there's got to be more to life than this." You know what I'm believing? I'm believing God, that man got saved. What did I do? I went on down, got a good night's rest. Psalm 127:2 says, God gives His beloved sleep. You know why I did? Because I did what Psalm 126:5-6 says. I went out and sowed some seed. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course." On the cross in John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." We need to finish strong, saints of God. And we're going to have an opportunity now to reach people where they are. Once again, we're not out to rid the world of sinners. We're out to stop the acceptance of evil as being good. Isaiah 5:14 says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Their glory, their multitude, their pomp, he that rejoices descends into it." So we can see that hell's enlarging itself. Do you know that's why we're having more earthquakes and volcanic activity? Oh, where's that at? Deuteronomy 32:22. "A fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn under the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with their increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Man, I'm glad they're putting this. Deuteronomy 32:22. Can you put that up? Who's doing that? They're doing a great job. Who's doing that? I'm looking up there. I can't see who. Who's doing? Well, I see a hand, but who are you? Stand up there. You're doing a great job. Stand up. Who is that? She's doing a great job. I got to see who she is. Well, praise the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy. "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." The foundations of the mountains aren't on Mars or Jupiter or Saturn. It's in the center of the earth. The center of the earth is on fire. I taught geography. There's the ring of fire that encircles the earth where volcanic activity and earthquakes are quite common. What's happening is that fire's burning out the foundations of the earth. Then Isaiah 5:14, "Hell hath enlarged herself." Well, I wonder why. To occupy the occupants. That's why. You know, they go only a few miles down under the earth's surface, and they can't go any farther because the intense heat of the molten magma will melt the instruments. Amen, saints of God. I believe Christ will come back soon. I believe Israel's back in her homeland. We see all the trouble going on over in the Middle East. Zechariah 12:2, "God will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling," verse 3, "a burdensome stone, and all these that trouble themselves against it will be cut into pieces." Zechariah 14:12, "This is a plague wherewith the Lord of hosts will plague all those that come up against Jerusalem that day. While they're standing on their feet, their flesh will melt off their bodies, their eyes will consume in their holes, and their tongue will melt away in their mouth." This was written 2,500 years ago, before we knew about nuclear power. I've been told that there is film footage from World War II where he dropped bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima where the flesh of Japanese citizens melted off their bodies before their skeleton could hit the ground. I remember seeing something that like the wind would blow and you could see stuff coming off. That was written 2,500 years ago. It's the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The only thing that can melt iron and steel is a nuclear explosion. Think of the intensity of the heat to melt steel. Like liquid and water. Oh yes, the Bible is not just, well, you know, people need something to believe. When I talked to this atheist in 2015 down in Newport Richey, Florida, another thing, and before I told him I was a minister, that I was a Christian, he was talking about these things. He said that he had a marriage early in life and they weren't meant for each other. And then he said he was in a beer joint and looked across the room and saw the woman that he said, I was meant for her and she knew she was meant for me. I filed that away and later in our conversation, by the way. And so we're talking and I asked him about, now, you said you were meant for her. She, who meant you for her and who meant her for you? He started fumbling. You know what I mean. I said, I don't know what you mean. You just told me you're an atheist. Your mom and dad are atheists. They have an atheism society up in Greenville, Tennessee. You just told me that. Who meant you for her? And he stopped in his tracks. And then when I started talking about other things in science, he's dumbfounded. His youngest son in his early 20s was in the pool with the oldest son in the late 20s. He got out and he was sitting right behind me. I don't think his sons had ever heard this. And that younger son was intent upon what I had to say. You know, when you go net fishing, you might be going for that big fish. You might get three or four other little fish in there. Come on, saints of God. Well, you know, if I talk about the Lord, I got to keep it down. Other people might hear me. No, that would be a good thing for other people to hear, because maybe that person may not be listening. Maybe somebody else will be listening. And they really want the truth, which John 8:32 says will set us free. Paul said, I finished my course. I want to finish my course. I want to complete what God has assigned me. You and I are on assignment. You're not here by happenstance. You're here by the providential hand of God. You and I were made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. James 3:9, we're made after the similitude or the manner of God. We're not God, but we're made in His image and likeness. You and I have a creative purpose. And people will never really be satisfied till they really come to know the Lord and then they begin to fulfill the purpose God has for them. Amen. Man, there's all kinds of talent in this room. There's the young girl back here. I think it was Friday night. I looked at her and God said, go back and give a word. Give a word. As I'm walking back, you know what Pastor Mike was coming to me? Intelligence. Deep thinking. Now, you know, that's just a young girl. I went back there and began to share that with her, how God's going to bless. And then you know what her family tells me before? I thank God they told me before. Her family said, last semester, she did so well in school, she got $5,000 credit. Is that right? Extra. This is the lady right here, Eddie Wayne. I spoke to her. And what the word was, people think you're a little different or whatever, but you have a profound intellect and a keen understanding of things, and that's going to accrue to your benefit. Then they're telling me she won five. Come on, give me five, brother. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. God's here working mightily. Amen. New Generation Church has always been a church that's concerned about the lost. Amen. We need to intercede and pray. We went up on Prayer Mountain. I've been up there now three times. All three times I went to South Korea. They've got these places, and it's for prayer. Thousands of people pray. Dr. Cho, and now Dr. Lee feels the same way, loves the United States of America. That's how they heard the gospel. Now, Dr. Cho, even 20-some years ago, had 25,000 people praying every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, and every year, for the United States of America. Now that's back up maybe 30, 35,000. You can know, if you wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, which will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon in South Korea time, you can know 30-some thousand people are dedicated, not praying about it, to pray for the United States of America. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if that many people can pray for us, we ought to be praying for our nation. And we need to be salt and light. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. Well, Pastor Tacker, Brother Manny, what are you all trying to tell us? Pass the salt and turn on the light. Yes! Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. The devil can't take from you anything God's given you unless you, by default, allow him to. Mark 4:15 says he comes immediately, not 2 weeks later, to take away the word that's sown in their heart. We ought to put up a no trespassing sign. An eviction notice. Devil, you got to get out. Was it Louis Armstrong that hit the road, Jack? And don't you come. Was it Louis Armstrong? Who was it saying that? It was Louis Armstrong or Ray Charles? Who knows who sang that song? Does anybody know? Who? Ray Charles. Okay. Instead of that, we ought to say, hit the road, devil. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, devil. That's what we ought to be saying to the devil. We're called, Mark 16:17, to cast out. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Not entertain devils, not play with devils. Cast out devils. Cast them out. A good friend of mine, he's in heaven now. He was an older minister and a wonderful man of God. And as a young minister, I mean, he was full-time like for 60 years. He just worked in his teenage years, and then he'd been full-time for 60 years. He's with the Lord now. And he told me he went with a senior pastor and another minister and to cast this demon out of this guy, and said they were just talking to the demon. And it's like I heard this another instance where they were trying to get the demon to identify itself, and the preacher said, now, tell me, demon, what kind of demon are you? He said, I'm a lying devil. He said, are you telling me the truth? Now back to my friend. He's with this senior minister and this other minister casting out devils. And he's talking to them. And this is going. And finally, the senior minister, they've been there 3 or 4 hours. He took his towel. He said, I've had it. And grabbed the man by the shirt collar and said, come out of there, my friend. I asked my pastor friend who's in heaven, I said, what would you have done if the demon would have came out? Well, I wouldn't have hung around that guy. Because evidently, then the devil, he was frustrated at his wit's end. Come out of there, my friend. Well, we shouldn't be laughing in church. Why not? Psalm 126:2, there is our mouth filled with laughter. Amen. Psalm 16:11, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I think sometimes people think that in heaven, you know, God's really concerned how this is going to work out, and He's looking and observing and doesn't know how this thing's going to turn out. Listen, nothing changes God. See, I've heard in the last year or two, and it's true, nothing's going to affect God. Who gets elected, who doesn't get elected, it doesn't affect God. I said nothing ever has, nothing ever will change God. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. I say, but what happens on the earth affects you and me. In Mark 12:17, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things are Caesar's. We live in a free society. We have the right to vote. Now, I'll tell you, see now, you know, Pastor, as a young preacher, I would listen to older preachers. Man, they had these stories to tell. They had these stories to tell, but I didn't have any stories to tell. I said, Lord, for 30 years, Larry and Teresa, God never spoke to me about that. Because I said, God, I don't have stories to tell. I was down in Greer, South Carolina, preaching Harmony Fellowship Church, about 30 years out, and that's been many years ago. And I related something that happened to me, and then all of a sudden, down in my spirit, God said, now, son, you've got some stories to tell. I hadn't been saved long enough to have any stories to tell. But we have a right to cast these demons out, and it's in the name of Jesus. Okay, now back to the story. There was a man who got saved under my ministry south of Chapmanville. It was a community church. Big, rotund fella. But boy, did he have a singing voice. He got saved. His wife got saved. His kids got saved. And a few months later, I'm teaching at Chapville Junior High School. So I left teaching in 1986. But it had to be before 1983 because I left as a regular teacher in 82, signed up as a substitute teacher as God was opening the doors for me to travel. And I knew when it was October 5th, I didn't wait till the end of the year. October 15th of 1986 was the last day I spent in the public school system. This man calls me. Mike, I need to talk to you. I said, well, and they called me down to the principal's. You know, the principal, Orville Dingus, always backed me up. You know why? His wife got saved under my ministry. Oh, there were board of education members who were called in by parents because I sponsored the prayer clubs. And the kids would go out and witness during the lunch hour. They had a right to do that. I could tell you, I don't want to get off on that tangent. But anyway, so I told him, I said, well, he said, Mike, tomorrow, I said, my free period is sixth period. I think it was like, I don't know, one to two, whatever. So he came down. He came to my room. Nobody's there. And he talked to me. He said, Mike, he said, I'm in a quandary. I said, what is it, brother? He said, I'm about to get my dream job. I said, well, it's wonderful. I said, well, you would think, well, what's your dream job? I'm going to become a policeman here in Chapmanville. I said, that's great. He said, you know what the pastor and the elders told me? That if I became a policeman and I wore a gun, I couldn't be a member of their church and not come back. I said, leave immediately. So, we don't want Christians involved in law. We want all sinners. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. So we want all sinners in positions of power. And you think life's going to be easier for you? Now, here's where in the Bible it tells us we need to get involved. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers and supplications and intercessions be made for all men, for kings, for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Amen. It tells us we need to get involved so we can live a peaceful life. The election had powerful ramifications. I think, Pastor, this. 15, 20 years ago, I know you preach it, I preach it, and most of our friends would preach it. If trends continue, preachers are going to be taken off and put in jail. I think back then, I think people were saying, you know, that preacher's just trying to get a rise, trying to get my attention. I don't believe that stuff. You know? Yeah, now, Willie, now, you know what? Same churches, you know what people are doing when I'm saying that? They're listening. They don't think it's a far-fetched idea. People have been put in jail but praying silently out in front of abortion clinics. Not even saying words. Oh, it should shock you. But Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. We are the standard God's raised up in our generation. Well, we need to stand for truth, stand with God and believers. We need to run to God, run with the saints, run from sin, and then we need to finish strong. Tommy Barnett, and I'll close on this, right after he had his heart attack, he spoke a couple times with the Full Gospel Fellowship in Arizona in 1998. Yeah, we were in Arizona. He pastors, well, he doesn't now. His son Tommy has a great church here in Los Angeles. It's First Assembly of God Church. Anyway, this was, I'm going to say this 8-10 years ago, right after he had his heart attack, he still kept his appointment. He preached on, don't drown in shallow waters. Talk about coming to the end of your life and then letting the devil turn you away. And he gave some examples. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Realize this and keep it in your heart and mind. All that you and I see is going to pass away. 2 Corinthians 4:18, why we look not at the things which are not seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the Word of God, it lives and abides forever. We don't look and gauge our life about things that we see, but about things we do not see. That's the Word of God. That's the will of God. Everything you and I have, when you take your last breath, you're leaving it behind you. And you're not taking it. You're not taking your bank account to heaven with you. Matthew 6:19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why you're investing in the kingdom. When you're giving to New Generation Church, when you're giving to missions work, you're helping to bring Jesus back. Now you need to know the soil you're planting your seed in. Okay, Lord, I'll give me a little more grace. I got to tell another story. Kathy and I are coming back from preaching in Cleveland, Ohio. And by the way, I want you to know, traveling and preaching is not easy. But God gives me strength. I've been in a couple of life and death situations. One time in Cleveland, Ohio, I was preaching. It was in March. It was cold out by Lake Erie. And I went to a convenience store. I got in my car, and four or five guys jumped on my car. I started the car up. What'd you do? I started driving the car. I drove slow at first, and I'm picking up speed. Well, what if one of those guys would have fell off and you'd have ran over them? It'd be on them, not me. I didn't want to kill anybody. I didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. But if they do, somebody breaks in your house, and you have to do what you have to do to protect your family. That's what 1 Timothy 5:8-9 says. If a man will not take care of his own house, he's worse than the NFL. Somebody doesn't believe in God. And we have a right to keep and bear arms. There are people who want to take that right away from us. What happened in 1962 when the Czechoslovakian government persuaded the Czechoslovakian people to voluntarily give their guns up? Right after that, Czechoslovakia fell under the scepter of communism. And then if you disagree with the government, they'd take you down a dark alley and blow your brains out. You had no recourse. Well, you don't need that gun for hunting. We're not talking about that. That's a given. That's axiomatic. It's given so that citizens have a right to protect themselves from an overreaching government that's ignoring the Constitution. Preacher, that's dangerous. It is. On that side, law-abiding citizens, we're not going to use guns to kill people and hurt people. And listen to this. If they take guns away from citizens, the criminals will have the guns. They'll be able to have the guns. But I preach up in Cleveland. That happened. And I was preaching in Chicago for Danny Maynard. He's from Chapmanville, Danny and Debbie. I preached for them when they had a Church of God in Haverhill, Massachusetts. They went to Syracuse, New York. They went to the Oak Park Church of God in Chicago. And they preached. They had a church, really grew, in Arleta, California, in the northwestern part of Los Angeles. I preached for those places. But Danny and I think it was 1989. It was during the summer. It was real hot in Chicago. Listen, you go to a big city in the summer, and it's hotter than out in the country because all that concrete in the building draws the heat in. I mean, it's hot. Well, Sunday morning, two Puerto Rican boys got saved. They were in a gang. Well, Sunday evening, now, Danny and I, we took them out to eat, and Debbie and some ladies went on, and we talked to them. They came back Sunday. Listen, they're excited about their salvation. So after service, we're going out to get in the van, and there's about 10 or 11 of the gang members. And the guy standing beside me, he said, uh-oh. He said, it's over for us. And it came across, my body's going back to West Virginia in a pine box. Oh, men of God, don't ever, come on. Thoughts might come your way, but we don't have to embrace those thoughts. But I said, God, what should I do? I mean, they're around. They have weapons. I couldn't have done this in my own ability. God had me to say this. It was authoritative too. I said, these two guys are no longer part of your gang. They're yoked up with Jesus. They are now in love with the Lord, and God has a plan for their life. And by the way, you don't have to spend your life in crime. You don't have to wind up in prison. You don't have to wind up dying and going to hell. Jesus loves you too. And they tried to cuss us. I think about when Jesus walked through their midst, and two or three walked this way, two or three walked that way, and two or three walked the other way. Danny looked at me, and I looked at him, and looked at those two boys said, God must be real. And they went on to serve the Lord. So, yes, and people say, well, all the time you've got to make sure you're completely safe. I believe in that. Don't expose yourself to unnecessary risk. But the will of God sometimes, you go to places there is risk. Well, it's always got to be, I've got to stay in the nice hotels. I've got to get the large offerings. And that's the will of God. Look at the life of Jesus, Paul, Peter, James. They went into areas. I mean, when Paul went to town, I think what he checked out first was a local jail. Because he's thinking, that's probably where I'm going to wind up. All I'm saying simply is this, saints, we all need to be involved. And when you get involved in the work of the Lord, winning people to Jesus, helping people in their Christian experience, you know what? You're going to have joy like you can't imagine. Joy like you can't imagine. But I told that man, leave the church, and he started going to the FICO Assembly of God Church. He went there for 30 or 40 years, and they moved out. I think he passed away a few years back. I'm not for sure. And then they moved. I think they moved out to Arkansas. They had some family. Anyway, for 30 or 40 years, he could sing. Anyway, that guy could sing. And he worked a job, and they paid tithes and gave. You know, that other church, because of ignorance, lost out big time. Come on. I mean, would you be afraid for a Christian to be a policeman? A real? No! It would comfort me. Come on. And look, yes, there are corrupt policemen. There's corrupt lawyers and doctors. Preachers! Oh, yes! Who are trying to paint with a broad brush. But as far as corrupt is concerned, it's lower in the ministry than any other profession. Oh, the news media will never tell you that. They'll highlight the people that have fallen or the people that are out for the money. And thank God, I believe in prosperity. I believe in tithing and giving. I believe in God sending back a return, 30, 60, 100 fold. He didn't promise everybody 100 fold. He said some 30, some 60, some 100. Brother Hagin had a meeting before he died with a lot of the faith ministers trying to teach. Look, we went from to be spiritual, you had to have old shoes and a hole in the back of your pants to God keep you humble. That's wrong. And he said then, he tried to tell them, now all your faith is focused on the money. Believe God for the money, but don't, he said, don't use gimmicks. And there's some people that rose up against him. I know, I wasn't in the meeting. I know two people were in that meeting. One guy spoke to Brother Hagin in a mean-spirited way. That man didn't last long after that. Another guy. But there were some that stood up and said, Brother Hagin, through your teachings, my eyes were opened, and I stand to be corrected. Some of these guys thank Brother Hagin because they were getting on this, look, if God gave me a scripture to give and say, God said give $33.30 Jeremiah 33:3, if God spoke to me, but I would never say that unless God spoke to me about it. Just to come up with a scripture and give $54.17 from Isaiah 54. We don't need that. We don't need that. I believe God's people, and they are generous to give to the work of God. You know, they take up offerings over in South Korea. They tell people what the money's going to, and they take up the offering. I mean, what they get in one off, you know, in the Wednesday on the first service, the opening service of CGI, it was in the daytime. There was no seats in a 35,000 seat auditorium. And they would, on Sunday, they have 8 services in that auditorium. They have 11, 12 other buildings, and any seat anywhere from 10 to 20,000. They're all filled on Sunday, and they have 8 or 10 services. Then they have cell groups and small little church buildings. But, I mean, people are committed. You know what? They believe in Jesus. They believe the Bible's true. And if people die without Christ, they're going to be lost. If you and I actually believe that, we'll be soul winners. If we don't believe that, it's not a big deal. We believe the people we come in contact with, I need to find out if they know the Lord. Now, if they don't want to talk to you about it, don't try to force it on them. I mean, if they don't want to talk about it, Charles, we should try to force it on them. But we should at least try to present it. Pastor, is that not right? At least try. And if they don't want to hear it, you want to force it on them? Jesus said, do what? Wipe your feet off and go to the next house. Well, bless God, I preach myself happy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's finish strong. This opportunity we have, let's take advantage of it, saints. We could see America make a turnaround back to God. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we need to do the 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. These people go in these prayer boxes. They don't have TVs going in there. I don't know if they have the cell phones, but maybe they have to because you have emergency. You know, I got my cell phone, but I got it on silent mode. And the only reason that's because there's a relative that's got a real tough physical situation. So if Kathy'd have to text me or something, I got it on silent. Usually when I'm in church, I just turn the thing off. I don't want to disturb the service. And I've even got preacher friends of mine that I've talked to. And you know, if they're not preaching, they want everybody to hear what they say. But here, somebody else is preaching and they're doing this also. Don't do that. It's a disrespect to God to do that. Well, I want to... So, everybody else needs to listen to God's Word, but you're above that, right? No, you're not. We all need to hear God's Word. Keep our mind on the Lord. Praise God. Let's lift our hands up to heaven. Father, we thank You for the United States of America. Lord, we're not a perfect nation, never have been. We never will be till You come back, Jesus. But we are a free land with free speech. And Lord, even to this day, the great majority, 90% of all missions work is supported and funded by the church in the United States of America, God. I believe that's why Your hand of blessing is still on this country. Now, God, I thank You for these opportunities we're going to have. I thank You for the people here today. They've been attentive, God, to Your Word. I can tell. They've been attentive to Your Word. They've had ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts to believe and receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save our souls. God, we're open to You. We're listening to You. And we're going to be active in the kingdom of God. Use us. In whatever capacity You want to send us, we'll go. Tell us what to say. We're going to be living epistles. And thank You for it in Jesus' name. Let me ask this question. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Tackett, Brother Manuel, I'm not sure that I know the Lord. If you're not sure of that, the Bible says make your calling and election sure. Amos 4:12, prepare to meet your God. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. If you're going to fly to Chicago, you just can't go to the airport and wait the day of and go up and say, well, I'm going to get... No, no. You've got to get your ticket ahead of time. And if you're flying internationally, you got to have your... You can't wait, walk up and think, no, they're going to send you back. They're going to send you back. Don't think, well, I'm dying. Well, Lord, now, you know, I had an uncle really preach the gospel, or I had a grandfather, or I had a grandmother was a prayer warrior. I know you're going to... Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, this shall die. You are not going to heaven because your daddy or mommy were great Christians. You can't ride somebody's coattail into heaven like you... Politically, you know, if there's a popularity of a candidate on a national scale, it can sway votes in down on the state or local level of that particular party. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. Romans 14:12. Every one of us will give account of himself to God. When I stand before the Lord, I'll give an account. For I've lived my life since I got saved. I'm not living good enough to go to heaven. If that was the case, I didn't need Jesus and you didn't either. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Jesus died for sinners and you and I qualified. But I'll give an account for how I've lived my life since I've been saved. And I want to go out in a blaze of glory and I want to finish strong, as Tommy Barnett was saying. And he was very passionate. He just had a heart attack. He said, finish strong. Is there anybody here today, you're not sure that you're right in the sight of God? Lift your hand up. I'm not going to... Lift your hand up. Anybody here today? Anyone here today? Lift your hand up if you're in that situation. Preacher, I'm just not sure I'm right with God. Pastor Tackett, from the time he invited me to preach here many years ago at the other location, he said, go with the Holy Ghost. He said, Brother Mike, now if the Holy Ghost leads, go with it. Now, I've been to services where I didn't get anything, you know, and I did. But I sense a moving of the Holy Ghost. I sense a moving of the Holy Ghost. This man right here. Did you stand up there, sir? Yes. Charles, come here. I want you to... we're going to pray together here. I lay hands on you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Be made whole. Be made whole in Jesus' name. You're going to sleep better. Psalm 127:2, God gives His beloved sleep. You have interrupted sleep patterns, and sometimes it just wears you out. You wake up the next day, and it's hard to get going, but you're going to sleep better. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, He said amen. You're going to sleep better. And I believe this. I believe you will testify to people that Jesus gives you better sleep. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. So we need this thing, well, if I can get that preacher. No, all we need is Jesus.